him off the street. They came and took him off the street.
Wow.
Now, the warrants that they came and took him off the street for, they've got cruel and unusual punishment used against dissidents here in Santa Cruz, apparently. And Bob's not the first case where I've heard people being sentenced to do community service or work exchange, demeaning things like cleaning up cigarette butts at the jail, cleaning up the trash in the back of the jail, and by far the worst, and this is one of the things that I heard they wanted Bob to do, wash police cars. Now, to an activist who's fighting that particular system, I think that constitutes cruel and unusual punishment. That's insulting. And if anybody ever charged me and made me wash a police car and left me alone with a hose in a police car, I'd roll up the fucking window and put the hose in. Or find me a blunt object and beat the machine until it didn't function anymore. That's a personal view. But that's the kind of thing that they want to sentence people that stand up to the system with. And there's no way that a person that stands up to the system is going to do that. And then when you don't do that, then they can haul you in on a warrant and take you off the street again.
Well, I think that if Bob had wanted, he could have refused to do those services and simply taken straight jail time.
He did refuse to do those services.
Right, but he also didn't show up for his jail.
Yeah, when he was doing those services, I talked to Bob about it personally, and when he was over cleaning up cigarette butts out front of the jail on a weekend, and there wasn't enough volunteers to do Food Not Bombs, and the meal was barely getting off, and homeless people weren't getting served, he decided that just wasn't community service for him. Mm-hmm. This man is community service. He serves our community more than a lot of people.
I agree with him.
He works a lot serving the community, and to tell him to do community service work by washing a fucking cop car or being in jail or anything other than serving the poor, the thing he's committed his life to is ridiculous. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't expect anybody else to do it.
So that is, in essence, what's happening today on Monday. Bob at 1:30 will be showing up in court. With three warrants, as I understand, one for failure to do time on, what, two charges, shoplifting and some other charge.
Yeah, shoplifting for food.
Shoplifting for food. Well, we know that if you serve it in San Francisco, you get arrested. Apparently, if you take it here in Santa Cruz, you also get arrested.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's the standard in most of our Western societies. Anything else about the mall hosts? I'm hustling you, Phil, because I got other calls coming.
Yes, I could probably rant on Bob's subject for a while, but that's the basic information. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do something new. The police, the mall hosts, all of our authority figures will always tell us that we have the right to remain silent. Anything we say can be used against us. Well, things they say and use can be used against them on free radio. Mm-hmm. Sparky, I think his name's Matt, but we all call him Sparky. We have nice little names for all the little authority figures on the mall. Sparky came up to me the other day.
As a host?
This is the host, Sparky. His name is Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Howdy Doody. Really nice guy. Mm-hmm. He's one of your friendlier fascists. Mm-hmm. Down on the mall. Comes walking up to me in between songs. They're really polite to me, and they wait for me to finish my songs down. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that, and I thank them for that.
Mm-hmm.
Came up to me and said, "Hey, Phil, what's with those kids on the radio this morning? And all that dead air."
So they're listening to you.
Oh yeah. Well, I wasn't on the radio, but mm-hmm. There had been a show switch that went with some confusion, a little bit of dead air. But he asked me about it, and I happened to be listening at that time too. And he said things that gave me the clear impression that, you know, he definitely was listening, because he couldn't have known those things. But so. That's my update, is that
we
the
have
hosts listen to free radio.
Well, that's great.
And they're waiting to hear the Hospitality Nazi song, I'm sure.
Well, perhaps you should do a quick rendition here. We'd be happy to.
It's in the... I made a tape for you. I told you that because you asked me to.
And it's somewhere here in the...
It's in the station on the wall.
I'm going to going to look for that. Maybe play it during one of our breaks so that our host listeners will not be disappointed.
It just says Hospitality Nazis on the tape.
Hospitality Nazis.
Yes.
Well, I will...
We put them on the guest list for the hemp benefit, and we told them they didn't show. But we're trying to be hospitable to our
host. Did you get to the Mamiya benefit yesterday?
Yes, I
did. How did that go?
It went good, and we had a table there, because we have more Mamiya than anybody.
We got more Mamiya.
Now, what about... That's going to be our slogan, which is going to be a cheap advertising campaign.
Has the memorial I don't know what you'd call it, services for Jerry Garcia here in Santa Cruz, which sort of involved nighttime hangouts at the Pacific and Cathcart, has that sort of largely ended?
Pretty much, yeah. They're heading up to San Francisco, and, you know, a lot of people are still trying to figure out whether they're going to follow fish or whatever, but they follow me now. I've got this troop follows me up and down the mall.
Excellent.
It's an early bunch.
Well, perhaps we can...
Because they couldn't get a ride to San Francisco, but, you know, I win by default.
You win. It's your fault, I would agree. We're hoping to get this house-breaking the host's table going at some point, but so far I haven't received any phone calls. And
I'll play there.
Well, that would be great.
Yeah.
We need if our listeners are really want to start a table down on the mall, which can both monitor problems with the hosts, say sign up signatures against the youth curfew, provide for a sort of a central cop watch location, I'd like them to give me a call at HUFF, 423 HUFF. That's Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. Give a call if you're interested in helping this project. Again, that's 423 HUFF. And if you'd like to call in and comment on anything that Full Heart Phil here has said, give a call to Free Radio Santa Cruz at 427-3772. Is anything more, Phil, before I pass on here?
Yes. Good day to you, sir, and smash the state.
Thank you.
Well, I already gave the little intro there. We are at Free Radio Santa Cruz. I'll give it again. That's Free Radio Santa Cruz, 89.3 FM. And my goodness, no sooner do I hang up and I get another call. But you call us too, because this call is going to be short, I think.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Good morning.
Hi, who's this?
This is Rex, calling from Santa Cruz.
Oh, hi Rex, how you doing?
Very good, very good. While I can empathize with the concerns of your previous guest or speaker there regarding...
Are you speaking of John or of Full Heart Phil?
I didn't catch the caller's name.
Fellow talking about the hosts or about the psychiatric system?
About the psychiatric system.
John Stewart, yes.
Ah, yes. I can empathize with the plight of the emotionally, psychiatrically, chemically challenged, or, you know, people that are just visionaries and see and hear things. But I really took difference with that person's perception of this being something endemic or peculiar to Western civilization, and he mentioned our own Western European heritage and how that is so racist and patriarchal, and how we have a problem in dealing with you know, mentally challenged people or gifted, however it may be construed, and seemed to set it up in a way that indicated that everyone else deals with it in a different way, a positive way, and that just us, the descendants of Western, you know, tradition and culture, have a problem with people that see things. And that's just patently, blatantly untrue. If you go to India or the Middle East or Japan or just, you know, take a gander around the globe and then put a mentally ill person in that setting, and you'll find, you know, very unforgiving circumstances. In Turkey, people that are crazy are whisked off the street. In Japan, there's no tolerance whatsoever for people that, you know, talk to themselves or behave at all in synchronous with, you know, the social norms. In fact, as Western tradition goes, we are probably the most lenient and concerned for the mentally ill say anything. Many people, religious or otherwise, claim to have, you know, contact with God or something like this, and no one, you know, arrests them. But
Rex, let me interrupt you just for a minute, because you're making a number of points here, and John has made his way back into the studio.
Excellent.
And he would like to comment on what you said, but please don't forget what you're saying, and perhaps you can give up those points as soon as John's comment on your points.
Well, the first point I'd like to make is that there's the statement that we're having a water heater attack here.
Go ahead.
The statement that someone is mentally ill or has a so-called mental illness is variously construed in different levels of society. On the level that psychiatry pretends to have its expertise, so-called mental illness is supposed to be an actual brain disease or brain dysfunction or brain deformity, such as the enlarged temporal or enlarged ventricle systems, as the so-called monozygotic twin studies presented in the New England Journal of Medicine purports to show. The fact is that that study was utterly flawed. They dismissed in one paragraph the fact that the psychiatric drugs that those subjects of that test took had shrunk the temporal lobes, subsequently enlarging the ventricle systems. You can read about it in Peter Bragan's book, John. Toxic Psychiatry. Let me get to the point.
Yes.
The fact is that there's no actual proof on the level of so-called science that there is any such thing as mental illness. The fact is that for innumerable, from time immemorial, there have been people having various kinds of experiences. The fact is, you try to point out that in India, there's also a so-called system dealing with people in from a so-called mental health or psychiatric perspective. Doesn't invalidate anything I've had to say. The fact that India was overrun by the British and colonialized and deprived of its cultural heritage and subsequently adopted on various levels a colonialist attitude towards its own people, especially in the world where people have the kinds of experiences that get labeled mentally ill, mental illness. The point is that you, I think, should work to prove you have an actual intellectual integrity and study the facts.
What about Japan, John?
What about Japan?
Yes.
I don't know in particular about Japanese or how they treat people. If they have a mental health system, the psychiatry, psychology, and psychotherapy are Western adaptations of a perspective on the mind that grew up with the capitalist system in Europe and subsequently has gone worldwide, especially behind the vast funding of the pharmaceutical industries, which has a vested interest in mental illness since the 50s and the creation of these designer drugs, beginning with Thorazine, which was an adapted from a dye by the French.
Any comments on that, Rex?
Yes, I do. Firstly, back to India, the caste system has been in place for India, you know, long before the British, you know, invaded.
I'm not promoting the Indian the Hindu caste system. Why do you bring that up?
The caste system has a system where there are only certain people can be clerics, only certain people can be even, you know, you haven't heard of the untouchable.
Wait a minute. Why are you attacking the caste system in India as if what you have to say, your attack on that is in some way pertinent to what I have to say? I'm not defending the caste system of the Hindus.
Yeah, John, I didn't say you were. I'm just saying that you know, humans share a common legacy of brutality, and there's nothing you know, Eurocentric about, you know, abuses of humans.
And I'm not promoting that point of view.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the particular system that's in place now. It's called the capitalist system, and it is utterly devastating us.
Right. So go ahead, Rex. So you claim this is not.
India has numerous traditions, such as throwing women on their husbands.
Why are you talking about India, man? I'm not defending India. The yogas didn't create that system.
Why are you
talking about India?
I'm sorry, go ahead, Rex.
I'll move on as soon as you let me finish my point. My point is that India has problems that are endemic to India's culture.
So what?
And these were in place long before the British set foot over there.
In any
regard, there are many people that in India that if they are seen to be, you know, walking around, you know, talking and you know, carrying on in a way that's socially abnormal, they are, you know, dealt with as untouchables. They're not dealt
so
with
what?
In any way. They're allowed
How
to
does that invalidate anything I've said? Cite the evidence for the existence of a proof of mental illness.
Wait a minute. Now, actually,
cite the evidence for
what
a proof
point
of
is,
any psychiatric
yeah,
drug
actually,
is specific for any mental illness.
John, I don't think the issue of mental illness is a much broader one, and the question of the reality of it is something that
no,
I think...
No, this guy takes it for granted there is mental illness.
Right.
He keeps talking about mental illness.
Now, also, in Japan and in China, there's also a great intolerance to people that...
Let's talk about the U.S., man.
Let me finish, sir.
Talk about the U.S.
Call back
in
to the
Wednesday
US.
From 2 to 3 and we'll argue this out. Okay?
It'll take that long, I guess, if
Excuse
you keep
me?
Interrupting.
No, you're going to go around the world.
Exactly.
Come to Santa Cruz, man,
Just
and talk
like
about the
did.
Psychiatric
wait,
system
wait, wait.
Here.
John, he has a right to talk about what he wishes to talk about.
As I was saying, I have a lot of empathy for the problems, you know, that people with mental problems or gifts face. What I'm trying to say is that these problems are not at all peculiar to Europe or its influences.
Right, Rex.
No one said they were.
Now, Rex.
Yes, you did. You said that this country has a big problem with it and that it's all race based, and you laid a lot of it at
That's
the doorstep.
That's not true. I did not say that.
Okay.
I cited the context in which people have certain kinds of experiences as a consequence of. Sleep deprivation, dream interruption, and malnutrition. I cited poverty as the contextual place where that's happening.
Right now,
and that people have kinds of experiences get labeled mentally ill.
Now, the question.
I didn't say anything about.
Perhaps. Let me.
Call in Wednesday 2 to 3. I can't handle it. You're so far off, man.
Get out of the kitchen. Get out of the kitchen. Can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen, that's all I have to say.
No, I'm here. Go ahead on. Go ahead on. But I want to tell you that if you think there's mental illness, man, you lack the intellectual integrity to go and research it. You go to the schools, you learn how to read books, you learn how to take notes in your classes. And so, is that where you're getting your information?
I've been there and I've done that.
You've been there?
I've been there and I've done that.
So. I've been there, and so what did you learn about actual experiences of being locked up behind a mental illness label?
It's hard to be pleased with that situation. However,
it's hard to be pleased with
fact,
it.
It does not alleviate the fact that there are people with chemical imbalances.
That's bullshit.
Drug.
Prove it.
Prove it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where's your proof?
Charles Manson, ring a bell?
Wait a minute. Where's the proof? Where's the actual scientific study showing there's any such thing as a chemical imbalance in the brain?
There are hormonal fluctuations.
Where's the proof of that?
Proof of that? What do you want me to get you a medical journal?
Yeah, I want you to cite the evidence, man, because I'm citing New England Journal of Medicine studies that are flawed. I'm citing
that
books
no such
that
thing
report
as mentally
the
ill
flaws
people?
Of those studies.
There's no such thing as mentally ill people?
There's no such thing as so-called mental illness. There are people who have weird experiences.
Uh-huh. Like
right.
Charles Manson, he wasn't, you know, mentally ill.
No, he was not any more than anybody else has ever been mentally ill.
Well,
he's weird. He has a different worldview. He has a different version of reality than you. He has a different way of coping with reality than you. And you decide that difference that he has from you is mental illness.
Well, for lack of a better term, and we are.
No, it's not a matter of for lack of a better term.
But let me
the
finish.
Fact
let
is,
me finish.
No, man, listen. The fact is, on the level of science which psychiatry purports to operate on,
you're having
you
an
have
adrenaline
to prove
overload.
What you're talking about.
You're having an.
You're working on the. No,
you're,
man,
an
you're working on the level where
here.
A physicist and cold fusion has validity.
Look, let me interrupt.
Bye.
Thank you. Let me interrupt this here to suggest that. There are two sides to considering the question of whether you want to call it, whatever you want to call it, what some call mental illness, what others claim is simply labels put upon people who have a different worldview. And before you do, I want to simply finish what I'm saying, John. The question is for people in society, not so much the internal experiences, but the external manifestations of those experiences. In other words, I think that's what you're talking about, right?
Right. I mean, there's a long history of people being, you know, labeled crazy just because they have a politically unsavory point of view or something like this. Where fools reign, 'tis folly to be wise, that kind of thing. Galileo was termed crazy and evil. You know, I'm very aware of the abuses of that situation, but you can't turn around and say, therefore, no one is crazy.
No one has said no one is crazy. I'm saying there's no crazy.
In hunter-gatherer societies, you know, quite often people are banished from the communities, either because they molest banished children or commit some other crime. That's
you remind me of the anthros that go to
American. You got to let him finish, Sean. You got to let him finish. You got to let him finish, even though you feel strongly about this. Go ahead, Rex.
Right. People with Tourette syndrome, which for you know no obvious reason, you know, have you know uncontrolled outbursts, swearing words, you know, insults that they often have no recollection of. You know, have often been you know persecuted, being accused of being possessed, and again, I have great empathy for the problems that are endemic with those who are not as we are, and that's a broad human problem.
But my whole point in calling up
is that I agree with you. There are definitely problems here, as there are abroad.
No,
but
what about
people,
me?
People try to pin this on Western civilization, which is a very influential culture. One that I take pride in belonging to and having a heritage that's traceable to that culture.
Oh, good for you.
I get very, very defensive and want to call up and joust with people, you know, like John, who want to muckrake and maybe just don't have the worldly experience to accept that we all as humans share a common legacy of brutality.
You take pride in the cultural heritage of slavery?
Continue to you know, ramble on and on. I guess my point is made. At this point, I will retire.
Let me say one thing before you go.
John wants to make one final comment.
The next time you actually hear voices and you're terrified and you see something and it's not there for other people,
I have no fear.
And you go to a psychiatrist for help.
Uh-huh.
I want you 10 years from then to come and talk to me, and we'll talk about how to get you out of the mental health system and get you a psychiatric inmates liberation perspective on the psychiatric system and its devastating effects on you after you've gone there and been there for 10 years like me.
I agree with what you're saying, and I am very aware of the crimes that both attorneys and doctors
You're a scholarly nerd, man. Bye.
So, yeah, well, I can box too if you want to get together and get busy.
Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. So you say you're sympathetic in the sense that you have friends who've been abused by the psychiatric system.
We all have. We've all you know run into a nasty cop or an arrogant lawyer or a doctor that's you know not sympathetic, just there for the money. That's a human problem. You can find this in Beijing and Berlin and Tibet. It doesn't matter where you are. It's a human problem. People are abused by humans. Period. And
I think the position that John takes is that it's a function of the system rather than of any particular individual abuses in the system. But the very nature of the system, like let us say slavery, produces. Let's put it this way. My perspective. That's my perspective on it too. Right, and in other words, it's not an institutional thing. It's not a personal thing or an individual thing. It's an institutional thing. That's my position anyway.
Yeah, there's much room for improvement, and there always will be, and that's you know a continuing trend. I think John will agree that things have somewhat progressed, although not entirely alleviated. The conditions that existed, say, in 16th century China or Europe. Where people, you know, that were quite sane were simply labeled as witches and stuff like this and burned.
It's a question, though, whether, you know, when you have hundreds of thousands of people who are drugged up, you know, and...
I'm not talking about my position, John, okay?
Sorry, I'm discussing... Actually, this is my position, so John doesn't want me to represent him as being his position, which it isn't. When you have many, many, well, almost millions of people who are, you know... victimized under the guise of being helped, and perhaps even with a well-intentioned sense of being helped, although the psychiatric industry's ties with the pharmaceutical industry tend to leave that open to question, then it really becomes a real question. Sure, it looks less violent than burning witches, you know, it looks less violent than solitary restraints, maybe, but what is the real impact? And I guess I am very sympathetic with the position that, you know, looks upon this as a fundamental institutional abuse, which not merely can be improved, but fundamentally has to be changed altogether.
Absolutely.
Do you agree with that?
I agree with that. It's not at all, a satisfactory, condition as it is. And like I said, there's room for improvement in so many different areas, and that's just, part of the human condition again. Basically, I was calling up just to defend Western culture. It's got, it's got its catalog of crimes, but if it wasn't for that Western tradition of Socratic open debate, there'd be no forum to discuss women's issues, gay rights, minority rights.
Well, of course, it's frequently not the forum that's the question. It's more the question of whether you, in the day-to-day lives that we lead, can we get equal rights? That's the question to me. I mean, they say that anyone who can, free speech is for anyone who's rich enough to own a newspaper. You can talk all you want as long as you can't do anything significant about changing the situation.
Not so much freedom of speech as it is you can talk until you're blue in the face.
Right. In other words, if you don't you don't get access to the major media, you don't get access unless you have money.
Right. I mean, look how many people, Jimmy Swaggart claim to hear voices, don't they? I mean, they say that, they talk to God. Mm-hmm. As far as I'm concerned, that person is either a liar or, is got some sort of, chemical imbalance or something like this.
You may be accepting a stereotype of this mental illness notion, which doesn't really properly cover the many, many varieties of individual human experience that we have, and there's more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in all of our philosophies at the moment, is how I look at it. John is inviting you to call into his show if you want to get into a continued vigorous debate. And John, as you can see, feels very, very strongly about this. He's been victimized by the system intensely and has very strong views on it. Probably so. And, it may be a difficult debate to get into, but you're welcome to call his show. I guess that's on Tuesdays. Wednesday from 2 to 3, I'm told, is his show. And, of course, you're welcome to call this show. And if you have any other points to make, I'm still here.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Rex.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's... That's the loudest phone call we've ever had, and the phones are still ringing. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 89.3 FM. If you want to call in, try 427-3772. This is Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides, addressing issues of poverty and civil rights for the poor.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, this is Lighthouse Linden. I've been enjoying the fracas so much. I missed my last appointment. Maybe it makes me crazy.
Mm-hmm. You must be mentally ill, I think.
Well, I think crazy is a dirtier word than mentally ill, but I'd rather be called crazy than mentally ill.
Maybe you just don't have a car.
I like to add a dialect to that.
Right.
That round. Is that all right?
It is, but I'm going to ask you to make it brief because there are two or three who want to call in, and I'm going to try to give them room to do so.
I'll be brief.
Go ahead.
What concerns me about the system, our particular Western system, when it comes to its impact on mentally ill people, is that it has so much to do with what's commonly called class. In other words, it's the poor people who are now becoming the homeless people, and the rich people who have something at stake who get wrung out, and I'm calling the courts part of that mental health system in this context. I've seen a woman be locked up and have all of her belongings taken away from her by her own blood relatives and her ex-husband because she was caught running barefoot in the night. Barefoot. That was the only evidence they came in this courtroom setting against her that wasn't just blown out the window as poppycock.
Well, that's probably unseemly for a young lady to be barefoot.
It's unseemly for a young lady with a lot of money that someone else wants to be caught barefoot. It's just quite fine for me to be barefoot, because I don't have anything anyone wants anymore, And so what I'm trying to say, and by the way, I agree with John in general, our so-called scientists, if you must talk science, are just beginning, they admit they're just beginning to learn a little bit about the human brain, and now they have new drugs out to experiment, so maybe they can learn firsthand, where
that's
they're
really
at.
A much bigger issue that I wanted to cover.
I'm not going to get into it. Would you please let me maintain my focus a little bit?
Go ahead.
Mental illness, brain chemistry, according to the scientists themselves, is new. They're just beginning to know something about it. Meanwhile, people like my mother are electrocuted into functioning, only it backfires, and for how many people is that? Meanwhile, they've created this pseudoscience called mental health, experimenting on people, and no matter how good or bad some other culture in the world might seem to be, I mean, I don't think Chinese women who are put to death because they have too many babies, or women in Africa who have their sexual parts removed because they don't want to be ostracized from their tribe.
I know of no Chinese women put to death for having too many babies, by the way.
Well, I've read in the paper, of course, consider the source, but I read in the paper that there were some women tried to get in this country as political refugees because they couldn't adapt to the sterilization rules of their own country.
That's true.
And they're going to be sent back, and what do you think is going to happen to them? The same thing that happened to the students at Tiananmen Square. So, anyway, my point is not that some cultures are more or less repressive or are more or less aware of calling things mental health problems than others. My point is that you can't compare apples and oranges, which applies from one culture to another. So, I'd like to leave you with the point that as long as it's carried out in an arbitrary, capricious way that has more to do with whether you have money or whether your indigence can make money for someone than whether or not there's any way you can be helped, I can't be an advocate of this system. You know, I'm pretty good at being an apologist, but when it comes to this issue, I'm not there for it.
Okay, well, thank you, Linda.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, indeed. It's Bathrobes Piers Broadsides at 89.3 FM. Call in here at 427-3772 and swamp these phone lines. It's a rare and refreshing experience. But speaking of refreshing experiences, we have that illegal camper extraordinaire, Red Top Robert Florey, who's just arrived. Hi, Robert.
Hello.
And Red Top here has just come from the morning hearing of Skidmark's Bob Duran, who you heard described by Full Heart Phil. He has a continued hearing apparently at 1:30. Robert, you've been up at Mount Shasta at the Rainbow Gathering here in California, and you've also been working with Needle Exchange, and I'm hoping to give a call to Danielle of the local Santa Cruz Needle Exchange, the program that trades clean needles for dirty needles and stops the transmission of the deadly plague AIDS. But sign in, please, and say how you're doing.
Well, I actually didn't observe any needle exchange program at the Rainbow Gathering. Although I'm sure some of the people up there do use needles, because there are people who use needles in every part of our society, and needle exchange program is a very effective program, as in that it works to prevent disease, because it, instead of having people share needles, use the same needles over and over again, they can become dirty and clogged. People can receive new needles, and each time that they're injecting themselves, do it with a clean needle if they participate in the needle exchange program. And so there haven't been any studies done, but I'm pretty confident that in San Francisco and in Santa Cruz and in Fresno and in other cities across Santa Cruz, this has been effective in helping prevent the transmission of diseases like AIDS and tuberculosis, which are oftentimes common in the drug use community, people whose immune systems aren't necessarily in the best of health anyway. And I was at the Rainbow Gathering August 3rd through the 10th, approximately, and that was kind of a neat experience because a whole bunch of people decided they were going to go live in the woods, and so they had to cook food on open fires, and there wasn't any electricity for lighting, so when the sun went down, it was dark, and the air was fresh, and there's lots of exercise and lots of good food, and it was really a nice way to live for a change instead of wandering around in the concrete jungle here. Here's what.
Hey, you're doing great, Robert. I think we're gonna turn over the mic to you here. yeah. Well, what you mentioned that the police pretty much left the. Well, it actually said the police did interfere with the gathering somewhat, and also they had their own ways of dealing with problems of. I guess it wouldn't be problems of so-called mental illness or problems of but more problems of aberrant behavior. Where I guess a woman felt threatened up there, and the group took a particular perspective and did something on that.
Yeah, that's true. That the Rainbow people they don't want to rely on the authorities to. They don't want to rely on the government for support in their daily lives. And if a problem arises, they want to be able to develop ways of dealing with that themselves in their own community, and not having to call the police, for instance. And I did hear a rumor that the police showed up, or some forest rangers or somebody showed up at seed camp and broke up seed camp. And as a result, seed camp is people who go and scout out the site early and will hike around a lot and say, well, it looks like if we're going to have this many thousand people here, we better, this looks like a good site, and we're going to have to find some water supplies. And so seed camp is just people who set up early and show up early and try to set stuff up. And so I wasn't there. I don't know exactly what happened at seed camp, but the gathering was really spread out, and there was confusion as to exactly where it was. But there was this one guy who was, a couple of women reported that he had grabbed them inappropriately. They were uncomfortable with what he had done. And so after a little bit of discussion, they apparently decided that this was worthy of a lot of discussion, so they started issuing the call for circle. They would yell, "Circle!" And so they were yelling that, and it was echoing through the forest, and so everybody knew, well, we have to go and circle and figure out what's up. So about 200 people did come and circle after a good half hour waiting, and it turned out that this guy was totally psychotic, and he claimed that he had been accused of stabbing five people, but in reality he had only stabbed one person. And
By totally psychotic, I mean he seemed to talk in an alarming, bizarre, and repugnant way.
Well, perhaps I shouldn't say totally psychotic, but he definitely was not what I would call a mentally stable person. He freely admitted that he had stabbed someone and that he lusted after women, and sometimes he had to follow them around, and this may make them nervous, but he didn't, his voice was calm. It didn't seem to him that anything that he had done was wrong, and he didn't seem to be feeling any remorse or any guilt over actions that he had admitted that he had done. And he wanted to talk on and on for hours about himself, and he did talk for over an hour about himself. So the people in the circle said, well, you know, we're not going to permit this to be going on in our community. And a bunch of the men actually wanted to have a men's circle, including him, so it would be just men talking about his issues with women, which I found to be a novel thing. Oftentimes, men avoid women issues like the plague, and they don't want to have anything to do with them. So, but here at the Rainbow Gathering, they were actually willing to address that. And finally, what happened is people said, "Well, we're going to make a personal commitment to keep an eye on this guy, and to follow him around." And so he hiked a mile and a half to the main camp, and he spent 2 days there. And then he came back to the kitchen that we were at, Shamalama Ding Dong Kitchen, and people were still following him, and he got in his van and drove away at that point. So that was kind of a novel experience. I haven't experienced something like that before. The Rainbow Gathering has another thing, which is called the Shanta Sena, which basically loosely translated from whatever languages those words are in means peace police. And these are people who take it upon themselves to go around and look for things that aren't going smoothly and to intercede in cases of violence, and they have their own circles. And I don't know a lot about them, but they do get together in a circle and talk about various rainbow problems. And so those are some, I guess, alternative ways. The whole Rainbow Gathering, it's an alternative way of living, alternative from the mainstream culture that's here in the United States. So I had a good time there.
Huh. Did you have cop watchers watching the peace police?
No, actually, I spent as much time as I could swimming in the lake and went for a couple of long hikes up in the, went up to the Pacific Crest Trail, and there was a spring up there called Bear Creek, just a whole stream gushing out of the side of the mountain with ice cold water that was really good to drink. And I was only there for a week, and Yeah, in a lot of ways, I guess it's not sustainable, and that all the food has to be bought in town and then trucked in. But it's kind of an interesting little social experiment or something, and if people have never been to one, you might check one out.
Now, we're listening to Red Top Robert Flory. You're listening to Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz with the rumbly water heater. You hear the bubble, bubble, bubble in the background. It's 89.3 FM, and our number, for those of you who want to call in and talk about psychiatric abuses, the Western civilization, the rainbow gathering, needle exchange, poverty rights, police abuse. Hey, we've kind of running the gauntlet here today, going through all kinds of different topics. The number here is 427-FRSC, or 427-3772, Free Radio Santa Cruz. Indeed, we're not too sure how much longer we're going to be on the air, because the rumor has it that the FCC, thanks to one of our sister stations, whose name I'm not supposed to give on the air, because they're trying to mediate things out behind the scenes, has filed a complaint against this radio station, the one that you're listening to right now, Free Radio Santa Cruz, and is encouraging the FCC to shut us down. Not exactly your free speech approach by other radio stations in the area, but perhaps part of the American capitalist approach. I will comment on this further at another program when I have more details, and I'm also feel more at liberty to discuss it. It looks like we have an incoming phone call. Yes, we do.
You're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, Robert. This is Danielle.
Oh, hi, Danielle.
Hi.
For those of us who don't know, and that's probably everybody except you and me, Danielle, you are with the Needle Exchange Program here in Santa Cruz.
Yes.
And Robert Florey, do you know Robert Florey?
No, I sure don't.
Well, you'll get to know him in the perhaps in the minutes ahead. He's on the air with us. He's in the studio with us. He's done some. I don't know if you've done work with Needle Exchange. You've done some work with Needle Exchange in Fresno. Is that right, Robert?
Well, yeah, I'm a friend of Tony Mello, and I know that he helped start the Needle Exchange here in Santa Cruz, and is currently participating in a Needle Exchange in Fresno, and I went down to Fresno several weeks ago and actually went out on the exchange with them. And in Fresno, they do exclusively house calls. They don't have any public sites, and that's mostly because they're afraid of the authorities. Fresno is a very conservative area. The author of the Three Strikes Bill is actually from Fresno, and so they do exclusively house calls there. So I have a little bit of experience and knowledge of Needle Exchange.
But Danielle, why don't you give us the Santa Cruz wrap on how long you've been in existence? What does Needle Exchange do? Are you simply a front group for a bunch of drug-hungry junkies and so forth?
Okay. Well, we do exchange six days a week. We do home deliveries, and then we have various sites around Santa Cruz County during the week. And we exchange about 40,000 needles per month. We have a huge number of people that use our services. We have older teenagers, older folks, lots of different people, and we try to serve food at our sites, which a lot of people come for. It helps to get people out, and then we do home deliveries for people that don't want to come to the site for whatever reason, because they might be afraid that they're going to get arrested or they might have kids.
Try to speak up a little bit. We're kind of losing. Go ahead.
Okay.
That's better.
Did you lose anything I said?
I think we heard most of it.
Okay.
You were saying that you do a needle exchange 6 days a week. You serve more than 40,000 people a month.
We exchange about 40,000 needles a month.
Okay. Now, if I wanted to exchange a needle, what would I do?
You would come down to whatever site, whatever day of the week that you were going to come. It would be a different site. You would come down with your needles, and we have a biohazardous waste container. Put them in there. We give you however many you gave us. We give you that many back.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got cottons, alcohol wipes, cookers, condoms.
Again, get your mouth as close to the phone as you can.
Okay, here we go.
You're blowing us away. Excellent. Go ahead.
And anything to promote safe drug use, safe injecting.
Mm-hmm. And how long has the program been in existence, and how long have you been doing this?
I think since 1989 we've been in existence, and I've been doing it for almost 2 years. about a little over a year and a half.
And before the program began, are there any stats that show a drop in HIV infection?
You know, I don't have that with me right now. Mm-hmm. So I can actually find out and get back to you on that.
Okay, yeah, we were actually hoping to, you were telling us you had lots of information, and you do, but we're catching you at a very busy time.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm at work right now, and so I'm a little scattered.
Now, you guys are all, at the moment, you're completely illegal, is that correct?
We are, but the County of Santa Cruz just declared a state of emergency.
When was that?
About a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so, although we're still operating illegally, basically the county is saying that they support us. But with Pete Wilson as governor, I really don't think that needle exchange will be legalized in California.
Hmm. How many cities in California have needle exchange that you know about?
LA has a needle exchange, San Diego has needle exchange, Berkeley, San Francisco, probably about 7 or 8, I'd say, across California.
On a somewhat related issue, which I've been interested in, and maybe you can give me the perspective of a health worker like yourself on this issue, the county has proposed a countywide curfew, actually, not the county, a supervisor. And that curfew proposal has passed the Criminal Justice Council in July, which is a group of people who mainly constitute the police chiefs and so forth, and the bigwigs of that sort. They decided they'd like a curfew for anyone under 17, that you can't be out after 11 o'clock at night, 7 days a week, unless you are going to or from such and such, or have a note from your mom, or some such things. So what impact is that going to have?